Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, kids, without looking at your bulletin, who can tell me the fourth commandment? Go ahead. Ooh, that's the fifth commandment. Fourth commandment. That's a different commandment. That's seven. That's next week. Four. Yeah. There you go. Fifth commandment we got. Sixth commandment. Without looking at your bulletin, what's the sixth commandment? You got steal, steal seven. What's the one right before it? That's seven. Yeah. Very good. I think you looked at your bulletin, though. That's okay. We need to keep moving. God is love. John says that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. And what he means by that is that God isn't aspiring to love, like love is some sort of ideal over here and God's trying to be like that. No, he's saying God is the archetype, God is the original stamp as to what really is love. And love, as we define it, is that what's doing what is best for someone else, is delighting in someone else. What's best for them? It's an act of the will, wanting to do what is best for, not for myself, but for someone else. Now, if you read through all of John, the Gospel of John, you see Jesus do that when it talks about his Father and the Holy Spirit. You see Jesus saying, I'm not coming here to do my will, but the Father's will. Jesus delights in the Father. And then when Jesus is baptized, what happens? The Father speaks from heaven. He booms from heaven and says, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then later on in the end of John, Jesus says, if I don't go away, I mean, it's sad that I'm going away because I have to suffer and die and rise again. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. And if the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to be awesome when he comes, because he's going to convict the world of sin. He's going to impart the righteousness of God to them. He is going to do this wonderful activity among you, and it's going to be awesome. God is love. As you see the triune God in the Gospel of John, you see a God whose relationship with each other is one of harmony. So when God created Adam and Eve, what does God seek to do to them? The two will become one flesh. This neat thing that's united, they're going to be united to one another. And they're going to also be showing love to each other, just like the Father shows love to the Son and the Holy Spirit. But of course they sinned. Relationship like that is destroyed. Children of Israel, they sinned. God, when he comes and he rescues them out of Egypt, they demonstrate time and time again how they hate each other, how they don't like each other, don't like God. And then God sends them to Mount Sinai, and he tells them, first of all, that he loves them. I am the God who rescued you out of Egypt. And now here are 10 words. We call them commandments, but they're 10 words in Exodus. And the commandments we're looking at today, fourth, fifth, and sixth commandment, which kids recited for us, remind us that relationships are important to God. You see, interestingly enough, the circle of relationships that happens in the fourth, fifth, and sixth commandments. Fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. You've got the family, fathers and mothers, that's the ideal setting. Raising up their children, children honoring their parents, parents loving and delighting and doing what's best for their kids, and parents, kids doing the same thing. And then those kids get older and then they learn that they're going to be in other relationships as well, and they learn don't kill those other people. Learn to live with other people. Learn to respect that the other people that are breathing here on this earth are human beings too. And then find that special someone among all those human beings, that Mr. or Mrs. Perfect or Mrs. Semi-Perfect, get married and stay together. And then in that marriage will produce children. And then you've got the circle. Now you're back to the fourth commandment. But in all of those commandments, you're going to need, for the ideal, love. Not the emotion love that we think of, but God's version of love. The archetype of love. That unselfish act of the will that delights in someone else. When we look at these commandments, we see what God is asking of us, why he is asking of us, and the role of mercy in our relationships. The fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, that you may live a long life on the earth. Martin Luther, in his explanation to that fourth commandment, sees a greater relationship, a relationship of those in authority. And kids learn in confirmation or in Christ-like, they're learning, oh yeah, who are those people in authority? Not just my mom or my dad, but also those in my government. And also those in my church. Pastors, teachers, church leaders. Those are God's authority too. That Luther saw that there was an authority beyond all of those, and that is God. And for us to honor our parents, to honor church leaders, to honor our government, we are seeing behind all of those things, God. Fifth commandment, you shall not murder. What is God protecting there? That life of the community, protecting not just those who are close to you, not just those people that you like, but people that you don't like. Jesus takes it even further than you shall not murder. He says, anyone who hates someone else is a murderer. In fact, on the last day, when Jesus makes this public announcement as to who is going where, who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, what is he framing it? He could pick any of the commandments and send people to heaven or hell based on that. But he fixed the fifth one. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked, you gave me some clothes to wear, so on and so forth. You and I know there's no way we can keep the fifth commandment. It is only through faith in Jesus does God look at us and say, we are perfect, that we are keeping the commandments. But it is interesting, isn't it? On the last day, Jesus tells us he's going to judge all of humanity on the fifth commandment. Sixth commandment, adultery. God is protecting the wonderful gift of marriage. That wonderful gift of devotion and fidelity to each other, where two people are so intimately connected, not just physically or emotionally, but even chemically. The social sciences tells us that what happens in the bedroom actually rewires your brain so that you are more close to that person that you are with. It's a wonderful gift God has given. Why does God say, you shall not murder or commit adultery, honor your father and mother? First, God understands human nature. We all have a sinful nature. If I went through the fourth, fifth, and sixth commandments, you say, well, Pastor, I got this. I got these. I'm glad Jesus is picking the fifth commandment because I will never kill anybody. And I have to ask you, why? Why aren't you going to kill anybody? What keeps you from doing that? Do you actually love your neighbor? No, maybe it's because you don't want to kill someone because you'll know you'll get caught. What keeps you from honoring your father and mother? What keeps you from calling your mother a stupid idiot? You would never dream of doing that. Why? Because you have the law as a curb because you know what your mom's going to do if you call her a stupid idiot. God knows our human nature. What's keeping us from breaking these commandments is not a love of our neighbor. We are consistently dehumanizing our neighbor. We look at government and we start complaining about government. They're a bunch of idiots, we say. We forget that behind that government, no matter whether we elected them or not, or whether we voted for them or not, is our God. And we should honor them. We don't want to harm our neighbor, but we know Jesus' strong words. Whoever hates their neighbor, whoever is looking at another human being and saying they're not worth as much as I am, I'm better. We want to put some distance between us and these commandments. We think of the sixth commandment. How that is broken in today's society. Looking at women not as beautiful gifts that God has given to us, but objects that will satisfy our desires. So God knows our sinful nature. God knows that what we are capable of. And God also knows the agony that happens when these relationships are broken. A man can put up with a lot of disrespect at work. Co-workers can say all kinds of bad things to him. His boss can make his life miserable, but he knows he's providing for his family, so all of that stuff just rolls right off his back. He enters his home and he greets his kids with joy. They have no idea the torment that he goes through. He's tough. That stuff will not stick to him at all. But then the minute that one of his children says to him, "I hate you," his heart just melts. The hurt is there. A mom can watch terrible things on television. It can move her a little bit to see all the things, the terrible things going on in the world, but it doesn't move her as much as a harsh word said to her by her husband. God knows the potential for human agony. How we can look at others and see them as trash, as not treasure. We can look at others as, what can they do for me? Not what I can do for them. During this Lenten journey, that phrase becomes so much more meaningful. Lord, have mercy. When we examine our lives according to those Ten Commandments and we go, I am not treating others like treasure, but treating them like trash. Lord, have mercy on me. While you and I might think that we are trash, or we may even have people that make our lives feel like we're living like we are trash, Jesus does not think that you are trash. You are a treasure that he bought with his own blood. He lived a life in a loving relationship, not just with his heavenly Father, but also with his sinful human parents. He honored them. We think in our passion lesson, passion reading for today, all that disrespect that was shown at Jesus by Herod and by Pilate, Jesus did not respond in anger. He did not lash out. He still treated them with respect and honor. When people struck Jesus, he still treated them with respect. He did not dehumanize anyone, but saw them all as ones for whom he was willing to die for. Jesus wants a close relationship with you, that he calls you his bride. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13 once again, and you just, instead of saying love, just say Jesus. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Jesus endured all things so that you and I would avoid the greatest pain of all, the greatest agony of all, the greatest relationship hurt of all, on the cross. Jesus was forsaken by God and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Separated from his God, that relationship that he had cherished throughout his life, he suffered that separation so that you would never have to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus made you his treasure. Because Jesus loved you, because Jesus made you his treasure, you are free. You are free from looking to your relationships for your source of identity. Parents, you know your children have a perfect Father in heaven. So as you're trying to parent your kids and you're trying to demonstrate love for them, cherishing them, doing what's right for them, you know that behind you is your Heavenly Father in heaven. That even if you would fail, your Heavenly Father is not going to fail them. Children, you can show honor to your parents. You are free to do so, even if your parents don't deserve your respect. Because you know your Heavenly Father takes care of you. You don't need perfect neighbors to love your neighbor. For Jesus is your perfect neighbor, watching out for you so that you can watch out for others. Jesus is the perfect spouse. So you can stop looking for that perfect spouse to fill your heart because you know your bridegroom loves you. And he delights in you. So show some love to your spouse. Because you are not trash. You are treasured by Jesus. In Christ, you and I have been shown mercy for treating others like trash. And our deepest satisfaction comes in our relationship to God. A relationship where God, because of Christ, views us as